Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Chris McMonagle. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Whatever. What a miserable Friday night. I know I do the yes sir thing. I'm not in the mood. Thank God it's 12 o'clock and we can put that stupid Friday behind us because I'm miserable. I was supposed to be at a Yankee luxury suite keeping my eye on the Rangers in the suite while I'm watching the Yankees kick the tar out of the White Sox. Instead, I'm stuck in a newsroom where I can't get a single TV to both show me what I want and have the volume to what I want. I'm playing games where from the other station, I'm going to put the volume up on that station, blast it so I can sit over there and watch the TV. What a miserable night. What a miserable setup. And I'm just so freaking fed up about this stupid offense that can't score any goals for the New York Rangers in a pitiful performance. They've scored one goal, one measly goal in the first two games of this series. It's a completely different series than the Pittsburgh series. It's completely different. It's amazing how, you know, it's amazing about sports. It's amazing about hockey. They are literally in two different, completely different series here, right here. Where, you know, all right, they're not falling behind 2-0. All right, they're playing tough. They're hanging tough with a team that's played them better for the regular season, that most people think is the better team. Most people expected this team, this Carolina team, to beat the Rangers. And the Rangers are right there. They're hanging tough. They're playing good defense. Igor looks, you know, he hasn't had to be great because their defense has been so good, but he doesn't look like the shaky goalie you saw in games 3 and 4 in particular in that Pittsburgh series. He looks like he's got it together a bit. They're playing tough. They're hanging in there, but they have done absolutely nothing offensively. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Panarin has been brutal coming off a bad series in Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, he was just non-existent. In this series, he's making blunders left and right. He's been terrible. Kreider did nothing in this game except draw penalties. At least, you know, Zibanejad was the only one who gave them anything and was the only player really on the team, besides maybe the goalie, who did anything in the third period. I mean, just a hideous performance. And I thought, I think it was John Giannone doing the post game for the Rangers. He said it perfectly, 100%. This game boils down to a five-minute stretch in this game where they, in the second period with 13 minutes left, because the Rangers have their most sustained pressure of offense the entire game leading in to a four-minute minor when Braden Shea gets Lafreniere in the face. Now, I don't know. I guess it cut the bridge of his nose. I don't know. But he gets 4 minutes, whatever. And in that 4 minutes, instead of creating any kind of pressure, I mean, they can't even get the puck in the zone on the penalty. They can't get into the offensive zone. Forget sustained pressure. They can't get in. And this entire game, without question, the most offensive pressure that that Carolina has sustained is shorthanded. The best offense we have seen, particularly in this game too, and you could argue probably in the series, the best offense we have seen in this game, in game two, was by Carolina when they were shorthanded. No other group has been more successful offensively than the penalty kill of the Carolina Panthers. That's disgusting. Disgusting. And so they get the penalty, 4 minutes, you're figuring there, no excuse now. They have to put a goal on the board. Instead, they give up off a Panarin misplay. They give off a goal, the only goal really, if you want to count the empty netter with literally seconds left. They give up a shorthanded goal, and that was the game. They had a good minute and a half, a long shift where they were the better team on the ice. Sustained pressure, really the only time all game that they really had sustained pressure. It leads to a penalty. They get a 4-minute penalty, and instead of taking the lead, taking advantage of it, they give up a 2-on-1. You get the great pass from Aho right through the legs of Fox, and you get the goal. You get the Smith goal, and that was really it. Because it could have, the one goal lead felt like five. I don't know what they're going to have to do. I don't know what Galanta's going to have to figure out. I don't know what kind of shakeups you're going to have to put forth. In game one, obviously the kid line played well. That was really the story coming from the game. They played well. You know, for the most part, they were the aggressor in game one. They played much better until the third period, and that's when the ice started to get tilted. It led to the game-tying goal, and then, yeah, a little bit of a fluke goal in overtime, but that's the breaks when you allow yourself to be close. Yeah, the empty net misses. There was one in this game where it looked like they could put the puck in the net, and it was wide open, and they couldn't do it. But for the most part, they have been just offensively putrid for the last four periods of this series. And got absolutely nothing going. Nothing. Not on the power play. Not really with the extra man on the ice down the stretch when they pull the goalie with 2.5 minutes, almost 3 minutes left in the game, which I thought was a little bit early. But you know what? Maybe it's not, because they had to try and get something going offensively. Now, they've been good defensively. They haven't really put any, you know, Shesterkin's been okay. He's made a couple of nice saves. He made the one great, you know, glove save. Not even sure if that puck was headed toward the net, but he makes the great, you know, glove save. But really, this offense has done nothing. The defense has been sound. The goalie's been fine. They've played, you know, they've done well with the forechecking a little bit. They've done fine with, you know, their sticks always seem to be in the passing lane, except the goal, obviously, where Fox was unable to stop it. But they've kind of been good on, you know, defensively, getting their pucks in the way, making things difficult for Carolina. But they cannot score. This takes me back to the old Rangers. This takes me back to the Henrik Lundqvist Rangers, where they can't get goals to win a game. And now they find themselves down 2-0, heading home. And I know. First of all, this is the team that came back from 3-1. This is the team who came back from pitiful performances in Pittsburgh to rally and win that series. Who came from behind 2-0 in games, down 2-0 in game 5. Down 2 games to go to 0 in game 6. To be able to do that, they've done it. Time and time again, all regular season, they've come back and they've played well after losses. But they've also been good on the power play, fourth best power play in the NHL. They have done nothing on the power play. They can't even get in the zone. They got as many chances shorthanded as the Rangers did on the power play. Not obviously the goal, but just shots on goal, scoring chances. The Rangers did absolutely nothing in the power play. Nothing. And that's where they've made their bones. That's where they've made all these wins. That's where they've had this great regular season, is with the power play. And they have done nothing here. Nothing. And I get it. You don't lose a series, or you're not in trouble in a series until you lose a game at home. They've lost two tough games on the road. And they have played them tough. No one's getting blown out here. They're not embarrassing themselves. I tweeted out embarrassing in referring to the 4 minutes penalty. And instead of, you know, taking the lead, they fall behind one. So I tweeted out embarrassing to that point, and people are killing me. It's not embarrassing. This team is, you know, this is a tough team. They're a better and younger team than Pittsburgh. I don't know what you were expecting. I was expecting not to get a 4-minute power play and be down at the end of it. That's what I was expecting. Call me crazy. But yeah, I understand this team has been resilient. They're only down 2. They have not lost a game at home. You come back on Sunday, you win that game on Sunday, the series feels completely different. They were down 3-1 against Pittsburgh. They win that game 5 to make it 3-2, and it felt completely different. Obviously, Sid the Kid also got hurt and was out of the series for a little bit, but still, things can change quickly in hockey. We've seen it. We've seen it with this Ranger team. We've seen it with this Ranger team in this postseason. But right now, they're going to have to try and figure something out, because they can't even get the puck in the offensive zone right now. That's how bad it was. Watching this game, that's how bad it was. And how many 5-on-3s do they want to play in this postseason? How many times do they want to be down 2 guys? I mean, Kreider taking terrible penalties. It was frustrating to watch this game. It was frustrating to watch this game because that one goal lead felt like a million. Because they literally got absolutely nothing going on Ronta. Who they're praising. Oh, what a Ronta does it again. Ronta does what again? Stand there and have a couple pucks thrown right at his chest. He did. I mean, he didn't play poorly, obviously. He didn't let in a goal. But it wasn't. They had nothing. What was it 21 shots? They had nothing going on. You are hard pressed to rack your brain to try and remember any kind of really sustained offense, which is really the few minutes before the penalty, and you know a couple of scoring chances early on in this game. That is it. That is it. And I don't know if they're going to mess with the Lions. I don't know what they can do. But here's the problem. And I was talking about it yesterday in the Bridge Show and referring to the Mets. And we'll get into the Mets and the Yankees and everything else as we go along. I got you all the way till 5 o'clock in the morning when Richard Neer comes your way. But I talked about it on the Bridge Show yesterday in reference to the Mets. You know, superstars have to be superstars. In the Mets' case, it's going to be trying to tread water while their best pitchers are down. You know, trying to make sure that, you know, this 7-game lead holds up. And that they can, you know, make it through this time of injury and hopefully play, you know, 500 to maybe a little bit better baseball until the All-Star game when they hope they can get it back. But in this case, in the postseason, the best players have to play well or they're not going to win. And we can talk about how great the kid line's been. And we can talk about, oh, Strom's terrible or this one. We move the, oh, Trouba's played well. Oh, how important has Lindgren been? And that's fine. And all that's true. And maybe you can make some minor adjustments and move this guy up or move this guy down or put Kako there or do whatever you got to do. But the main point is that Panarin can't play this way if they're going to beat this team. If they are going to win this series, Panarin can't play like this. And Zibanejad was pretty good, and Kreider had his moments in the Pittsburgh series. But Kreider can't have a game where he does absolutely nothing but take penalties. That can't happen. They're not going to win. I don't care how defensively sound they are. I don't care, you know, everything else. Right now, Panarin is not only non-existent, he's killing them. It has to change. I don't know what he's been a completely different player. I don't know if it's, you know, playoff hockey, the styles change, you know, the whistles are tighter, you know, you're a little bit more physical, whatever the case may be. Panarin needs to figure it out. Because right now, every single time he tries to do something to make a play, it's the wrong move. He's giving up, you know, turnovers in the neutral zone. He is making mistake after mistake after mistake. He seems trepidatious with the puck. He had an opportunity in that power play to take a shot. He passed it up. They're looking for the extra pass all the time. They just made it easy on Ronta. They made it easy on this Carolina team. And I don't want to say Carolina didn't do it to them. Carolina is one hell of a team. They're the best power play kill in the league. They're the best third period team in the league. They are a tough team. And they played the Rangers tough all season. And by no means am I telling you this is, you know, an embarrassing performance necessarily. I'm just frustrated with it. And the way they lost this game in particular in those 3 or 4 minutes was embarrassing. That stretch that cost them the game where the shorthanded goal happened was embarrassing. And I understand Carolina's a good team. I get it. And these are tight, hard-fought games, and the Rangers are right there in these games. They're not getting blown out. I get it. And I'm not trying to tell you that Carolina doesn't deserve credit or that Carolina isn't a good team or the Rangers are just completely blowing this thing. They're not. But when I watch this team that has played great on the power play all year, whose superstars have been superstars all year, who Kreider scores, you know, 50 goals and Panarin making plays all over the place, when that disappears and Kreider's taking penalties and Panarin's turning the puck over, and they get on a huge power play where it seems like the momentum in that game is completely shifted and they allow a shorthanded goal, you know, those are the things that you can't have happen if you want to win a series. This is playoff time. This is playoff time. And it's nice to get some experience, but we're past that now. I understand this is a young team. We talked about it in the first round. They're a young team. It's great to get this experience, especially from the kids line who's played well. You want to get these guys experience. Lafreniere, Kako, you want to get these, you know, these guys experience here. and you want to start to build with this group, which is a young group, and you expect to get better next year and the year after. And obviously, Igor is a young goaltender, despite being great and possibly most likely winning the Vezina and being a Hart Trophy finalist. But once you're in it, that goes out the window. That's a nice talking point, and maybe we'll get into it after if they lose this series. We'll get into what this series meant and the tight games and the playoff hockey and the atmosphere and the overtime games and everything that goes with it and all the experience they've accrued here, and it's going to make them better next year and all the stuff that we tell ourselves after we've lost. That's what that's losers lament. That's trying to, you know, rationalize what happened and how it can still benefit you. It doesn't make it lies, doesn't make it inaccurate, doesn't make it not true. But when you're in the middle of it and you got a tie game, and you're on a four-minute power play, I don't care about, oh, this is good experience. Oh, I don't care about, oh, Carolina's a tough team. I don't care about that in the moment. And right now, the great players on this team who have been great all year are coming up small in this Carolina series. And it can all get turned around in one game, fully admitted. Go out there and win on Sunday, and we're feeling a lot different about this Rangers team and about this Rangers series. Totally agree. And Carolina played terrible in Boston in the first round. They are a far better team than Boston. It should have never won seven games, but it did. They were unable to get things going on the road, and hopefully that continues for the Rangers. They take games three and four and head back to Carolina with a different attitude and feeling better about themselves. And I expect this team to bounce back. How can you not? They were down 3-1 to Pittsburgh. They didn't blink an eye. They're down 2-0. They're down two goals in both elimination games. They don't blink an eye. They come back. They fight back. So I'm not telling you I expect this team to roll over, but things do have to change. The offense in this, it's one thing to have the goalie be shaky in a Pittsburgh series. It's one thing to have, you know, Crosby step up and Malkin step up and, you know, get blitzkrieged and give up a bunch of goals, and the goalie's looking like he's really inexperienced and having a tough time adjusting to the playoffs and the pressure that comes with it and poor defensive plays and, you know, everything else, and you give up a lot of goals. And then then you come back into the series and you score a ton of goals, and you come back from 2-0 and you blow it and it's 3-3 and you come back and score more goals. And that's one thing. All right, watching those games, that's one thing. And you feel, all right, they're in this series, they're playing tough, it's kind of this fast-paced series, a lot of goals, the second periods have been crazy in this Pittsburgh series. That's fine, you watch the game and you feel one way about it. It's another when you watch the Rangers and they can't even get in the offensive zone. This is reminiscent of all the playoff series the Rangers lost in the last, you know, genre of Ranger playoff series with Hank and Stepan and, you know, Hagelin and whoever else. But they need to figure out after the games in Pittsburgh, you thought, all right, just settle down defensively. Get, you know, try and protect this goalie. Don't let odd man rushes. You know, try and, you know, he'll get his feet underneath him eventually. You feel okay about it. Right now, offensively, with what's going on, something needs to change. They need to spark this team somehow. They need to figure out how to attack this Carolina team that's playing them this tough defensively. They have to figure something out to break this momentum and change the way the game is being played. It's one thing to figure out how to slow down Pittsburgh from scoring six goals and seven goals to scoring three goals and figuring out how to win because you're scoring four or five yourself. That's one thing. But not being able to get into the offensive zone is a major problem. And not having any scoring chances except, you know, a couple empty netters that you can't figure out to put in. Besides that, that's a problem. To get more scoring chances from the Carolina penalty kill than from your power play is a problem. And so, yes, the series is not over by any means. But I have not liked what I've seen these two games offensively, and something's going to have to change, and Gallant's going to have to make some adjustment, because you can't just rely on the fact that they didn't play well in Boston. It's a different, heading into the Garden, the Rangers are resilient. That's fine. And it's true. But they have to change some things up because they need to figure out a way to get some goals and some action, and Panarin just needs to flat out be better. And Kreider's been okay. He was terrible in game two. He needs to be better. Zibanejad was great down the stretch of that Pittsburgh series. He's been their guy all year. He was the only one showing any guts in the third period today. He needs to be better. You can't rely on the kids. You can't rely on the goaltender. They got to go out there, and their superstar playmakers and goal scorers need to go be superstar playmakers and goal scorers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.